You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Every time there's a big game, Gerrit Cole ought to wear a mask and bring a gun with him because he is robbing the Yankees in big situations, that's for sure. It is Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Hembo is with us from the hashtag crew Camp Pratt as well. It is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. There is so much to get to today. Our two-a-days for ESPN Radio includes the Bears and the Washington Commanders. I think because we're contractually obligated, we'll talk about the Commanders. And we will spend plenty of time later on KD and who says no. But for right now, let's roll.
Here we go! Go!
Only one place to start.
Hammers this deep to center field. Durant back looking. Josh Donaldson deposits one in the center field seats, and it's 4-0 Bombers.
And the Yankees roll in Boston. Well, they hang on in Boston. 6-5, your final score, as they have gotten to 60 wins now, Hembo, for the second earliest time, I believe, in their illustrious history in just 83 games. So they beat the Red Sox, and everybody feels good because they beat the Red Sox. But there's a much larger issue, and I don't want to be an alarmist here, but let's call it what it is. Rafael Devers is absolutely Gerrit Cole's daddy. That's number one. And number two, if Gerrit Cole is pitching in a big game, you have very little reason, if you are the Yankees, to feel great about the situation. And he has come here on a contract of $324 million over 9 years. Yankees are going to be in cruise control the rest of this season. I understand all of that. But even in a win last night, it is awfully difficult to feel great about your ace of this staff. And it's awfully difficult to make the argument that you wouldn't rather have anybody else in their rotation right now pitching in a big game than Gerrit Cole. Hembo, I don't need much more than the numbers to tell me the case. As a Yankee in the postseason, he's got an ERA of 4. When he was an Astro in the postseason, he had an ERA of 2.2. I think the Yankees have been hoodwinked on this contract. I honestly, because he's very good. Don't get me wrong, but he is not $324 million ace good.
No, I mean, Gerrit Cole is paid like he's the best pitcher in baseball. And right now, he's something like the third or fourth best pitcher on the Yankees. I think that's inarguable. It's not just the obvious performances in big games that really irks you, which obviously he has many of those. It is, to me, a body of work, a track record of, call it what it is, average play.
Yeah.
Ever since Major League Baseball started cracking down on foreign substances. That, to me, is a bigger story here because, sure, you can always pick a game, find an anecdote to prove your point when it comes to really any player. But in Gerrit Cole's case now, we have more than a year of data that say he ain't the pitcher that the Yankees signed.
And
he just ain't.
If you're wondering what exactly that data is, 37 starts since the crackdown on sticky stuff last year, an ERA approaching 4. That's not what they signed. That's not what they signed. And he had a good second half last year after it. He adjusted a little bit to it. But there are so many things, much more than that, that bother me about watching him pitch. Mm. The body language is god-awful. If one little thing goes wrong for Gerrit Cole, it feels like the whole thing is going to fall apart like a house of cards. Remember opening day. Remember how he had to wait 3 extra minutes and basically went nuts in the dugout complaining that the national anthem was taking too long and it had completely thrown off his schedule. It kind of reminds me of Mike Messina in that he was a don't move my cheese guy. Mm. Don't move anything about it. But Messina could actually adapt. He was prickly when it came to that kind of thing. It doesn't feel like Cole adapts. And I can't get on him completely because the first ball the Devers hit out last night was basically in the dirt. And he still swatted it out of the ballpark. He absolutely owns him. This is not a Devers thing, though. This is a Gerrit Cole thing.
It's a Gerrit Cole thing. Over his last 37 starts, the ones that you just cited, he's allowed 37 home runs. This is not a Rafael Devers thing, not just a G-Man Choi thing. This is a Gerrit Cole problem. And I think it's important to lay out the context accordingly because the Yankees are so good this season that it is World Series or bust. They signed Gerrit Cole to be that guy who could give you potentially three starts in a World Series. That's what you're paying him for. The money that you're paying Gerrit Cole might be the reason you can't pay Aaron Judge. All that I'm asking is that you pitch to your contract. Because right now, he's the third best pitcher on the Yankees at best. And look, Brian Cashman's done a great job at putting together a great team around him. But like, if there's anyone on this club that's not picking up their end of the bargain, at least on the pitching side, it's Gerrit Cole.
So it leads to the larger question. Now, does that really put them in a very difficult spot come the postseason? This regular season has been fantastic and historic already in many ways for them. And I expect it to continue. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going to collapse and blow a 14 and 15 game lead. That's not going to happen. We understand that this is going to be cruise control to the end of the regular season. But there are a couple of concerns here. Not only Cole, but I don't know how you look at Nestor Cortez with his limited history as a starter, how you look at Luis Severino, who hasn't pitched in the last 2 years prior to this season, and you feel good about where their innings are going to be. Now, the great situation for them is that they can absolutely miss starts in the second half and save innings in them. But you also still have to pitch. And for Cortez, it was under 100 innings last year. I think he ended up throwing a career high of something like 90 innings. And when you haven't even pitched in 2 years, to go out there and expect Severino to give you 150, 160, 170 innings and then pitch well in the postseason, that's asking an awful lot. So it does leave some question marks there for the long term when we talk about the Yankees getting into a series, you know, after they have sat through the first round with the bye they're going to have. I do worry that you really don't have a great situation. It feels like a house of cards that could fall apart in a big spot like that, especially thus putting even more pressure on Cole to be that guy.
More pressure on Cole and potentially pressure on Brian Cashman to have the foresight to add an arm or two potentially before the deadline. We talked a lot about potentially replacing Joey Gallo or trading Joey Gallo. It's not obvious to me that the Yankees still couldn't use more pitching. Right now, their run prevention has been historic. Let me ask you a question in a playoff series. Who would you feel better about in a start? Gerrit Cole or Justin Verlander?
No, Verlander.
Gerrit Cole or Shane McClanahan?
McClanahan, probably.
Alec Manoa. See, Gerrit, look.
Manoa!
You're reinforcing my point. Gerrit Cole has reached the point where if he's your probable starter, you're crossing your fingers. Can you...
You want Frankie Montes? I'd rather take him.
There's a dozen guys in the American League that you'd say that about. That's crazy to me because what you always do in the postseason is you line up your starting pitching and you figure out who has the edge based upon that. There is any number of pitchers in the American League up against the Yankees, whoever they might start in a postseason game, that I would feel better about than the guys they have, which is crazy. The Yankees are going to win 110 games. Gerrit Cole's making $324 million. That is a really precarious place to be for a team that is this historically good in a regular season.
And when you look at what the likely American League Championship Series is going to be, they don't stack up well against the Astros. They don't. They don't stack up well against teams that are really good offensive teams. I don't love them in a situation against the Red Sox or the Rays or the Blue Jays for that matter, but I don't think the Blue Jays will get to that point. I think when you're talking about a division series against the Rays or the Red Sox, it's not going to be a lot of fun because the other thing to remember is as well as the Yankees have hit this year, It's better pitching in the postseason. Mm. It's better, and they have had that history of not pitching, of not hitting as well in the postseason.
That's most definitely a thing. I'm just imagining a scenario right now. It's game six of the ALCS. The bottom, it's the, you know, the sixth inning. Base is loaded, and Yordan Alvarez is up. Gerrit Cole is pitching, right? Mm. You don't feel good about that moment.
No.
That's the...
I don't think he would be in that moment. I think they would have pulled him out of the game by that
probably
moment.
So.
Yeah.
Which also reinforces your point. But that's the Gerrit Cole that Yankees fans are now watching. He has given us so much scar tissue that you're afraid of that moment because he pitches like he's afraid of that moment. That's a bad place to be.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Do you have legitimate concerns about Gerrit Cole and the Yankees pitching staff, even though they are where they are right now? And there is no denying the season that they are having. And as good as their pitching staff has been, do you have long-term concerns, meaning playoff concerns? 888-SAY-ESPN. It is Chris Carlin along with Hembo in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small business resources and learn about small business grants at HelloAlice.com. We have got a jam-packed show today, including our two-a-days on the NFL. Today it's the Chicago Bears. It is the Washington Commanders, and there is so much going on in the league. Is there a possibility that Gronk could unretire? And how quickly can Baker Mayfield turn his career around if he can? We get the answers from one of our insiders next. It's normally Canty and Carlin, but today it's Carlin and Hembo on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm following the money on this one. They guaranteed Sam Darnold $18.8 million. He's going to be the starting quarterback.
The pieces are in place in Carolina. If they play to their capability, this team gets in the playoffs.
Baker Mayfield is your best bet in Carolina.
If I'm betting on myself, then I completely double down.
And if he does start on opening day, Carolina versus Cleveland, Baker will certainly have a lot to play for on opening day.
To think after they went out to get him that Baker Mayfield would be the starter no matter what the money is, but we'll get into it more right now. It is Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hembo is here as well. We welcome in Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Jeff, before we get to the league, this might make you feel a little bit awkward, but what the heck. We were having a debate, Hembo and myself, during the break. Who is more handsome, you or Alan Hahn? And Hembo would contend that Han physically is a little bit more imposing, but
really?
that you can wear the hell out of a suit.
Oh,
what say you?
That's it. That was well. I'm a little disappointed in him, though. I would think that he would just vote for me, top to bottom. I just really speaking, I'm not imposing. That's true, though. I'm not imposing. Han's got that very chiseled look about him.
He does.
You know what I mean? That is quite quite nice, quite lovely.
I mean, Jeff,
very lovely look.
Jeff, I mean,
easy on the eyes.
You know I love you. I once called Alan Hahn a handsome, chiseled god on this very show. I mean, I'm a big fan of your body of work. Like, you strike me as someone that could be like a potential person on a political thriller who, like, the president's wife is, like, cheating on him with kind of character.
Yeah, I like that.
You just look like so
that.
Good in a,
I like
in
that
a,
role.
You know, like a nice, sharp, but tailored Italian suit.
The problem is I'm definitely going to end up dead.
Yeah, there's no question. In that scenario,
we can only hope.
You do not, wow. You do not survive that.
I'd still rather be that guy than the president. Like, I'd rather be the guy with the president's wife.
When I think of Jeff Darlington, I think of two words, European cut. That's what I think of. With
sure
those
do.
You know what I get a lot of? Do you know what I get a lot of? Have I ever told you this?
No.
I get a lot of Scott Disick. That's who a lot of people tell me that.
Wow. I don't know if that's something that you want, is it?
I do. You know what? I used to not love it, but I kind of like that guy.
Has he matured? I mean, he, of course, of the Kardashian fame.
I just think he kind of, like, he owns his role. You know, he kind of knows he's a little bit of a tool, like myself. And, like, we know who we are. And I like that he kind of trolls the whole thing. You
Jeff,
know? I think the Lord has come a long way.
Saying so, I think you look a lot more like Trump Jr. than you look like Scott Disick myself.
Yeah, no, I get a lot of DJ and Jr. too. And I like the Scott Disick thing a little more, to be honest.
Let's quickly transition to some football. Jeff, first of all, the Baker Mayfield deal that goes through yesterday. What is your view on where this stands in Carolina? Is this a true competition, or did they bring Baker in with the idea that he's going to start?
I honestly do think it's a true competition. And I say that because neither guy is really overly incentivized in terms of, like, you know, a high draft pick. Kind of like you feel about Trey Lance in San Francisco. Like, yes, he's got to start. He's a high draft pick. The money, even though Carolina's only paying a small part of Baker's deal, the money is very similar. They're basically on one-year deals, each of them. So, you know, there's no reason for this coaching staff to root for one guy over the other, except for the fact that at least Baker brings a new juice, a new energy that they didn't see last year from Sam. So, like, I think it's an open competition. I will also say, though, much like Denver last year with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke, like, Teddy came into that seemingly behind the eight ball, but was able to make up a lot in terms of lost time in the first few weeks of camp. And I think the same thing will happen in Carolina. Baker Mayfield's got a photographic memory. That's what all the coaches said about him coming out of college. He's got incredible recall, incredible ability to pick up a playbook. And I think that will come in huge handy in Carolina this coming training camp.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us. Chris Carlin in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. So what for Baker does salvaging his career look like this year? Paint a picture where teams look at Baker, whether it's Carolina or somebody else, at the end of the season and say, he can be our quarterback and we can win with him.
I mean, I guess 2020 Baker. And I don't think that's that much to put on him.
It doesn't feel like it.
I'm intrigued to see what Baker can be when he's healthy. He was so banged up last year, and we know that about, like, I feel like that's where things went sideways between Browns, him trying to play through it, and ultimately sort of almost criticized for his play during that. You know, it's like, no excuses. But, like, the guy's got a shoulder that's fallen off his body. So I am intrigued to see what he can do when healthy. And I do think, based on my conversations with people around the league, that you know, everybody made it sound like Baker's just done and he sucks because nobody wanted him. It wasn't that. It was about the fact that he was owed $18.8 million this year and people still want to see exactly what he can do before they commit to him. So, look, if he goes in and plays well for Carolina, which I think he can, I absolutely believe there will be a market next free agency for him.
Jeff, where do we stand with the 49ers and Jimmy G right now?
So he's still got to start throwing. I mean, that's the biggest thing. He had off-season shoulder surgery, and he literally is scheduled to start throwing any second now, any minute. And once he does that, then the market can open up for him. No, I don't think that there is like a huge market in terms of starters, but I do think that there is, you know, the two things that could happen here is a training camp injury creates a need for him. And the second thing is, like, I mean, if he went into a place like Pittsburgh, for instance, and I'm not saying that that's the spot. I'm just saying, like, there are places that seemingly have starters in place where he could be extremely competitive and potentially win the job. So once he can start throwing again, I think that market will open up. I'm not convinced at this point that that San Francisco won't just have to cut him. I mean, they're not going to keep him as the backup quarterback for $25 million this coming season. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I think if the market does not show itself, they could wind up just releasing him.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us. Chris Carlin in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The place that I would think that would make a lot of sense, should Deshaun Watson be gone for a lengthy period of time, would be Cleveland. Would they be looking for an upgrade, or are they content to try to ride out the storm with Jacoby Brissett?
I mean, I just can't imagine from a payroll standpoint how you justify that. Like, that's $55 million in Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield, neither of which are on your week one or your active roster. Like that, and then to add Jimmy Garoppolo at $25 million, like, that just doesn't seem palatable. It'll be largely dependent on what the discipline is for Deshaun Watson. Like, if he gets 8 games, maybe you say, look, Jacoby Brissett's our starter. Maybe he gets 3 wins. We're 3-5 when Deshaun comes back, and then we can make a run for the playoffs at that point. So I think it will be largely dependent on Watson's availability. I just don't see how you can commit that many resources to one position.
What's your read on the Watson situation right now? It's gone quiet a little bit the last few days.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't have a read at this point. It's been so back and forth. Like, every minute it feels like it changes in terms of what the expectation is. I would just say that at this point, both sides get to provide briefings to Sue Robinson, the disciplinary officer overseeing it. She'll now take all of that information that she has and make the ruling. The NFL wants at least a year. The NFLPA is arguing 0. So, you know, generally when that's the case, it's somewhere in between. But honestly, it's still anybody's guess at this point.
Jeff, last one. The Commanders are one of our two-a-days today on ESPN Radio. We're going to be talking about them here in the next few minutes. Carson Wentz is what everybody is focusing on, and justifiably so.
Yeah.
Is this a recipe that can be palatable for Washington in the long term? I think we just got your answer. Yeah.
Hembo knows how I feel about this. Like, I'm kind of tired of Carson Wentz. Like, maybe it's cool and all.
I don't get the impression you're alone in that.
Yeah, I know. You know what? The thing that I was kind of exhausted by the Carson Wentz thing. Like, and I'm not even blaming him for this. But, like, when you see, like, MVP odds come out, like, even when he was going into the season with the Colts, it was like Carson Wentz is 20-1. And, you know, then there's all these other really solid quarterbacks at, like, 40-1 and 50-1. So why do people continue to think that he's, like, this top-tier quarterback? I was also at that that Jacksonville game last year, the Colts-Jags, when I've never seen a quarterback give up that Carson did that time, and I know that's harsh to say, but hey, maybe, you know, I'm an optimist. I'm a big believer in redemption. Maybe this is Carson Wentz's time to turn it around. I just have zero actual belief in what I just said.
And by the way, those odds, I think they were from the Dan Orlovsky-owned sports book that put Carson Wentz at 20-1.
Orlovsky, man. You know what I mean? Carson Wentz must have been nice to Orlovsky at one point, you know? Like, that's how I am. Like, if Carson Wentz, if I, like, met him on the street right now and he's, like, super cool to me, I was on here and be like, dude, he might be the MVP this year. Like, I'm one of those guys, like, if you're nice to me, I'm probably going to like you a lot more. Like, it's hard for me to kind of, You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jeff, lay off the Kardashians over the weekend. Mm. I know they got a new vehicle out on Hulu. So,
hey,
listen.
Lord Dizek prevails. You know what I mean?
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
I'm going to try to get on the weights a little bit, see if I can chisel his body up for you, babe.
That would be most helpful.
Okay. That is Jeff Darlington, who, according to Hembo, is just not up to snuff when it comes to getting matched up with Alan Hahn when it comes to looks. That's basically what it sounds like.
No, but I mean, Alan Hahn is number one on my power rankings pretty much in life. So, like, it's really...
In life?
There's a... Look, this is a high bar to clear for Jeff.
In life or just looks?
Handsome, chiseled god.
Yeah, listen.
I mean, I enjoy his basketball commentary. It's reasonably
sure.
good.
It's reasonable. It's a little pro-Nick sometimes. He's a little Nick boy. that happens. Okay, but... You know, let's not get nuts in life. The guy is stunning.
Fair
I
enough.
Will not
yeah,
deny
I mean,
that
he's
for a
fun
second.
Fun to look at.
But he also, fun to look at. He is also.
This has gone off the rails.
This
Hembo.
Has really gone off the rails, Kim. This has really gone off the rails. And Hembo, I completely blame you 100% for it.
Should we do the Carson Wentz thing next?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Sit tight. First of all, though, for the ones who get it done, Grainger is here for you, and they're always here to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at over 250 local branches. And you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down hard-to-find items. Plus, Grainger's commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days.
The man has won a Super Bowl in Washington. That is Joe Theismann.
Obviously, I think Washington can win the division. I really do. I'm not just saying it because I played there, but I think Washington has just as good a chance to win the division as anybody. I think Carson is under as much scrutiny as anybody because he's been brought in there to elevate this offense.
It wasn't going to take a whole lot to upgrade at quarterback, but we still don't know that the Commanders have actually done that. It's Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and of course on ESPN Plus. Hembo's joining us today in studio as well, the Washington Commanders, where we turn in the first of our two-a-days today. And let's hear from Ron Rivera on Carson Wentz. This is back from early in June on what he expects Wentz to bring to the team.
There are some things that Carson does that, you know, not a lot of other quarterbacks can do. With his arm strength, his ability to throw the ball specifically vertically. So, yeah, do I expect it to step forward? I do. I expect us to be able to really expand on what we've done in the past. This is first year with Carson as a QB1, but I do think we can develop and grow as a group together, offensive, defensive, special teams. But to me, it really does come down to winning.
You know, when you look at Carson Wentz and you try to evaluate him, when you look at the numbers, first and foremost, you're going to say, this isn't bad. What's the problem here? But it's not about numbers with Carson Wentz. It's about big situations. It's about reputation with his teammates, which is not good, and it hasn't been for a few years. And I think the other area where you see coaches start to look at a guy like this and evaluate him in a positive way when they are truly trying to sell themselves on Carson Wentz is, well, this guy was the MVP in 2017. Before he got hurt. That's 5 years ago, man. That's 5 years ago. And he was not awful at times in Indianapolis, but as you just heard Jeff Darlington say, this is a guy who quit in a game, basically. I mean, you look at it, it's tough to say, but it's pretty accurate. I don't look at Washington and say they have absolutely improved their quarterback situation from last year with Taylor Heinicke because to me, before week eight, it is not out of the realm of possibility that Taylor Heinicke is starting for Washington.
No, I mean, I totally agree with that. We don't have to wonder what the league thinks of Carson Wentz. We know based upon the actions. The Eagles moved on from him willingly and took a $30-plus million cap charge to do so. By the way, he didn't talk, literally he didn't talk to head coach Doug Peterson for a period of months during the end of his tenure there. So that's how it ended there. We also only have to look to Indianapolis, who moved on from him without having his replacement, which you literally never see in the NFL.
Yep.
And just listen to or read what Jim Irsay, the owner of the team, said on the record about the guy. there's everything that you need to know about Carson Wentz. Was he the best option available in Washington? I suppose. I mean, given you know that they have Taylor Heinicke there and eventually drafted Sam Howell, like maybe, just maybe, he's the best option that they had. But with Carson Wentz, you put it well. There's a lot more than the stats. There's a lot more than just the tape. It's the sort of aura about him that has now defiled two teams in 2 years.
And it feels like it has a black cloud over the situation. And just to put that in a little bit more context, just think about this for a second. Frank Reich was responsible for bringing Carson Wentz to Indianapolis. Wentz had his best success with Frank Reich. Reich said, "We'll give up a number one pick. I believe in this. We'll give up multiple picks to get him. I believe in this guy." And within the span of a year, he got rid of him. And he got rid of him for a lot less. That tells me everything I need to know. Because if somebody is going to make that work, it's Frank Reich. And he bailed out on Carson Wentz that quickly. That tells me everything.
I totally agree with that. His season in Indy last year, in my judgment, was Carson Wentz's last real chance. I don't think he has almost any chance in Washington. It's been well established on this program. I'm a Philly fan, so I've seen practically every snap Carson Wentz has ever taken. I watched the Indianapolis Colts fans last year, mostly online, have the same experience that we did. All of a sudden, our offensive line doesn't look so good. What's wrong with our offensive line? All of a sudden, our coaching staff isn't dialing up the right plays. Well, why aren't you putting Carson Wentz in position to succeed? Here's the problem. We've preloaded the argument with thinking that Carson Wentz is good. Carson Wentz is not good. The offensive line was good. Frank Reich's a great coach, and Matt Ryan's going to take that team to the playoffs next year. That's what's going to happen. The common denominator across the board here is Carson Wentz.
Now, on the flip side for Washington, there are a couple of other things to keep in mind. Number one, it is probably the biggest move in the offseason that does not get enough attention, and that is losing Brandon Scherff. Brandon Scherff is a tremendous guard. We know that he's an all-pro, and he signed elsewhere. He signed with the Jaguars this offseason. And they tried to go the depth route. They brought in Andrew Norwell. They brought in Trey Turner to try to help their offensive line. But it is yet to be seen as to how they are going to adapt without an all-pro in the interior of the offensive line. Number two, Chase Young is coming off a torn ACL. That defensive line, when intact, may be a top three in football. It may be the best when they are all healthy and all at their best. Jonathan Allen is such a good player, and he gets overlooked with Daron Payne, with Young, with Montez Sweat. This is a big year coming up, though, for Chase Young, and it's going to be tricky because, as we've talked about with ACL so many times, you have a player who comes back and may not be great immediately, and it takes another year before they get back to being what they can be. And Chase Young only had 1.5 sacks through his, I think it was 6 games before he got hurt last year. He was not as productive as they would have hoped in year two. It's a big opportunity here for Chase Young, and you have to hope that that knee has healed a whole lot better for Washington to have much of a sniff.
Oh yeah, for all the talk about Carson Wentz and the offense, the defense went from 4th to 25th year over year. This team is built to be good on defense. I mean, Carson Wentz could literally have an all-pro season. If the defense doesn't improve, that team ain't making the playoffs.
It's Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Our second two-a-day next hour, the Chicago Bears. We will focus on Justin Fields, and we will bring in one of our experts from Chicago to fill us in on all things Bears. Tune into an AL rivalry Sunday, the Red Sox hosting the Yankees. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. Up next, who says no? Hembo will present to us different packages for Kevin Durant, and we will tell you who says no to the deal. It's Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Greeny, the podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Josh Donaldson, Grand Slam last night. Yankees were in the zone, 6-5 win over the Red Sox in the opener of four. Get in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Chris Carlin and Forgrini on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hembo is here as well, and Hembo has come up with five scenarios for possible Kevin Durant trades and wants to know who says no. So he will go through right now and present all the scenarios and wants to know who says no. Hembo, the floor is yours.
I'm going to start with the Phoenix Suns. We know they are on KD's trade list. My proposal for you is DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, and two protected draft picks for Kevin Durant. Who says no, Chris Carlin?
The Brooklyn Nets say no. I don't think they love DeAndre Ayton. And talking to somebody yesterday, somebody made a very good point. You're starting to see the centers in the league who are not the Embiids and the Jokic's really get devalued, and teams want to go more with kind of a center by committee if they get a rim protector, a defender in there. Hmm. That's why I think partially DeAndre Ayton has lost some value with Phoenix.
Interesting. So you think, let's say, I'm going to give you the option of two extremes here. He becomes a potential max player as a center, or he becomes, say, Andre Drummond. What is more likely for DeAndre?
I think he is a max player. I like him a lot as a player, but as this person put it, basically centers are almost becoming like running backs in some ways, unless they have an elite skill set.
Okay.
Next.
Fair enough. The Warriors are next. Mm. Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, and James Wiseman for Kevin Durant. Who says no?
Boy, if I were Brooklyn, I would do it. I would do that if I were Brooklyn.
You'd do that if you're Brooklyn.
I would absolutely do that if I were Brooklyn. If I were the Warriors, it would depend on what the relationships are with Durant, because you listen to Nick Friedell, who was on Get Up this morning, of course, covered the Warriors, now has spent a lot of time around the Nets with Durant and company being there. That had run its course. So I wonder what those relationships are like, but I do get the sense Draymond Green wants him there, wants him back. I do get that sense. If I were in that scenario, either team should say yes to that.
Okay, so we'll put a pin in that one.
Yeah.
My next one for you is the Miami Heat. My proposal is this. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Kyle Lowry to make the salaries work,
yep,
and two lightly protected draft picks. Who says no?
The Nets should say no to that. I'm not a Tyler Hero guy. I know that he's sixth man of the year. I don't think he's the next superstar. I certainly don't think he's anywhere near what he thinks he is.
Okay.
And Duncan Robinson's a really good shooter. Lowry's shot, that's over with. That's all about contract. I would not say yes to that if I were the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, absolutely not enough. Not. Next is Toronto, the Raptors, okay? Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and two lightly protected draft picks. Who says no?
It's not bad. It's not a bad deal. I don't know that the Nets would do a whole lot better in terms of true talent right away. And I can't imagine that Durant would love being traded to Toronto, which, honestly, for me, just because I'm vindictive, I would kind of want to send him there.
Okay, so between the Warriors package and the Raptors package,
I would say the Warriors is better.
The Warriors is better.
I like Jordan Poole. Yeah, I don't know how you don't love Wiggins after what you just saw in terms of being an all-around player. And James Wiseman intrigues me, but again, it kind of goes back to that center discussion. The Warriors, I think at this point, might even value Kevon Looney more than they do Wiseman.
Got it. You have time for one more?
Yes.
The Nuggets, the Denver Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, two lightly protected draft picks. Who says no?
If I'm the Nets, I have to say no. And I would consider saying yes if I could rely on Porter to stay healthy. I can't rely on Porter to stay healthy at this point. And when it's a back thing, and it's been a back thing since he was in college for the year, absolutely worries me long-term about that. I would say, if I were the Nets, I would say no to that.
Okay, so then it seems like the Warriors is your favorite package here. Let's think about this real quickly from their perspective then. Are you more inclined to go for the gusto, trade for Kevin Durant, and have a chance, or the best chance, to win, you know, each of the next two or three championships? Or do you keep your window open as long as possible and try to become the San Antonio Spurs?
No, if I were the Warriors, I would absolutely make that trade and go get Durant and get him back, because it's that guarantees at least two championships in the next 3 years. Guarantees at least two. Does it not? If you're the Warriors, would you do that?
I would do it, like you said, so long as the relationships have not been permanently fractured.
Yes, totally agree. And frankly, it would be an admission of defeat in a lot of ways for Durant, even though he has said he would be open to it. Because why did you leave there in the first place? To go and do it on your own? And that, to me, is where this really is not getting enough attention in terms of his overall legacy, picture, long-term, all of that. This is a failed situation, and it's on Durant for the reason that it failed. You can blame Kyrie all you want. Durant has enabled him at every turn.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.